thing to disappoint the folks that were depending upon him. Because virtually every home in the city of Nazareth contained a table or a cabinet or a chest that had been constructed by Joseph of Nazareth. And everybody knew he did excellent work. Every piece seemed to turn out just the way he had designed it to do so. Joseph was known far and wide as a careful craftsman. He tried to autograph his work with excellence, and he did a great job as he shared what he had to share with the people. And what was true of his work life was also true of his personal life. That's why Joseph was so careful as he planned his own future. He worked hard and he saved carefully. That had allowed him to build a home right alongside of his father's house. And when that place was completed, careful Joseph knew it was time. Time for a wedding. Time to be married to Mary, the young woman who had captured his heart. And for months, Joseph had been working toward that goal. He had been thinking and planning about the life that they were going to share, about the things they would do together, the things they would be able to accomplish, the children who would fill their homes, the faith that they would teach them to practice. Joseph had prepared carefully so that everything could take place just the way he imagined it should. So how do you prepare for a life that has fallen apart? That's the question that Joseph was asking himself as he sat at his workbench. It had been all he'd thought about on since that day when Mary had returned from spending months visiting with Elizabeth away from Nazareth. Mary came to him and she told him what she had experienced, how the angel Gabriel had appeared to her, how he claimed to declare a message from God that the Messiah was on the way, the one who had been promised was coming, the Savior who would deliver his people, and his coming was going to fulfill every promise God had ever given them. Mary told Joseph, things have turned out exactly the way God had promised through the ages, exactly what the prophets had foretold was going to take place. A virgin would conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit. The child who was to be born would be the one who had been promised. But what she said next had exploded his world. Joseph, I'm the one. God has chosen me, and I will depend upon him to fulfill his promise. I am the one who will give birth to the Messiah, the Son of God. It's the greatest privilege any woman had ever known. While Joseph heard what she was telling him, only one thing really registered in his mind. He and Mary were not married, and it was obvious she was expecting a child. What do you do in such a time? How do you react to that kind of news, especially when the story seems to be beyond belief? Joseph had always been able to fix anything that was broken, but how do you fix something like this? How do you begin to put that situation together again? It seemed to Joseph as though the future he had planned so carefully had suddenly disappeared, and it was gone forever. Joseph was a good and caring man. He had no desire to hurt or humiliate Mary. He knew there would be plenty of people in town who would be more than willing to point at her and whisper. But what should he do? Finally, he decided the best thing to do would be to end the marriage, call it off privately, quietly, and everybody go their own way. As he considered how to do this, an angel appeared to him in a vision with news that demanded Joseph make a life-changing decision. The angel declared a message from the Lord. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. Everything she had shared with him was true, the angel said. The child she had conceived was of the Holy Spirit. This was something God had done. It was something God was doing. It was something God had always promised would take place. Nothing like that had ever happened before, and it would never happen again. But this time was God's saving plan. Joseph, you need to realize that you're part of what God is up to and what God has always been doing in this world. Joseph, Mary is God's chosen instrument for bringing the Son into the world so that the Son could bring the salvation that the world desperately, desperately longed for. The angel gave Joseph specific instructions. He said, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, a name that means God saves. And Jesus would save his people from their sins, and Jesus was coming to make it possible for people to be reconciled with God, and Jesus would become the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. The angel wanted Joseph to know that Jesus was going to be the fulfillment of God's promises, and especially the one he made through Isaiah so many years before. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And with that, the angel returned to heaven. Joseph was aroused from his sleep, and he faced a decision that was going to change the course of his life as God was changing the course of the history of the world. What would he do with this word the angel had declared? To believe what the angel had told him would call for absolute faith. It would mean believing that what God had done, God had truly done, that what Mary had told him was the absolute truth. And that he was to carry on and do exactly what he had planned to do before this news had turned his world upside down. It would call on the kind of faith that Joseph had never known before. Are you willing to absolutely depend upon what I am telling you? But to reject it would mean going his own way, apart from Mary and apart from God's will. That part of Joseph that was wounded and hurt and confused would have to be set aside so that he could accomplish what God had planned for him to do. Joseph made a decision. I will take God at his word. He chose to believe the Lord. He trusted what the angel had declared. He went to Mary and he explained that he had experienced a visit himself and he would marry her without fear or hesitation. And when the baby came, they would name him Jesus, just the way the Lord had instructed them to do. What is Joseph's story? Joseph's story is that he took God at his word. And the Lord expects us to do the same thing. This Christmas, if there's anything God is challenging you and I to do, it is simply this. Take God at his word. Believe that what he says is true. And live according to what he has told us to do. Our faith is our witness that what God declares makes all the difference. Every year, about this time, the world divides into two kinds of people. There are those who hear the story of the coming of Christ. There are those who hear the story of the pronouncement made to Mary and the story of the visitation that Joseph received, and they hear it all, but they hear it as a story. Quaint, sentimental, but obviously not true. Or there are those who say, this is what God has done. This is His word that we're depending on. And we will take Him at His word. God has given us His Son. Matthew reminds us that Jesus was born to be Emmanuel, God with us. That the baby born in Bethlehem was nothing less than God in human flesh. Conceived by the Holy Spirit with the very DNA of a very human young woman named Mary. Absolutely God. Absolutely human. All in one person who came to be Emmanuel. And he would grow up and reveal a perfect picture of what God was like. When we see Jesus, we see the character, the nature of God. In Jesus, we see God's love. In Jesus, we see God's mercy. In Jesus, we see God's hope. In Jesus, we see God's salvation. In Jesus, we see God right in the midst of us. Emmanuel, God with us, makes the with part literally true. He wasn't around us. He wasn't near us. Jesus came to be God with us. God has given us His Son, Emmanuel. And when He came to be God with us, that's exactly what He did. He came to be God with us. He didn't kind of stand back and hold us at arm's length and say, now I want to look at you and I want you to know I've come to bring God's grace and I've come to offer you salvation and I've come to offer you compassion. But listen, you're never going to get close to me. He didn't come to be God for us. I'm on your side. I'll protect you. I'll guide you. I'll provide for you. I'll meet your needs. But don't expect it to get very personal. He came to be God with us. Look at the person next to you on the pew. What if that was God? What if He was just that close to you? What if you could feel the warmth of His or her body? What if you could listen to them as they were singing the hymns? What if you reached out to them when we were greeting one another, if the pastor got up and came to do it? And you could shake hands. And it was God. Emmanuel. That's exactly what it means. That He came to be with us. And He lived the way we live, and He breathed the way we breathe, and He ate the way we ate, and He got as close to us as He could possibly come because He came to be the Savior. So God gave us his son, so that through his son we could understand what the truth is all about. God has given us his son, but that's not all God has given us this morning. God has also given us his revealed word. Just as God spoke to Joseph through an angelic messenger, he speaks clearly to us today. But he speaks to us through his word. You might be sitting here today and you're thinking, you know, I hear this story. I hear about how the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a baby. And he came to Joseph and he said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And I hear all of those things and I think to myself, you know what? If only God would speak to me the way he spoke to them, then I could believe him. If only God would come and send an angel to speak to me, then I would trust him. And God has done that, but he's done it through his word. This is his record that he has given to you and me, so that we could hear that perfect record of his truth. And it tells us how to live and how not to live and what to believe and what not to believe. And it brings God's eternal truth to the everyday living of our lives, just like Emmanuel. God never gave you his word so you could set it on a table or up on a shelf and say, isn't that a wonderful thing? I have a record of God's word. Isn't it so amazing that I can pull it down anytime I want to, and there it will be, the timeless truth that God has revealed to his people. Isn't it great that I have that Bible sitting on my table or up on my shelf? That's not the way God expects his word to speak to your life. He expects it to speak to you in the everyday living of your life. He gave us his son, and he gave us his word so that just like Joseph, we could hear his word speak and apply it to our own lives. It is no accident that when you read through the Gospels, the story of the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus that all takes place after the birth of Jesus, that time after time after time after time after time, Jesus himself will quote scripture to make a point. He will quote scripture to drive truth home. Why was he doing that? Because that was God's gift. That is God's gift. In its own sense, the word of God is Emmanuel in and of itself. It is God with us. So you don't have to say, if only God would speak to me. You don't have to say, if only God would send an angel. What you can say is, thank God he has given me his word. And it speaks to me clearly right where I am. To trust it is to trust the Lord himself. Every time you turn to the Bible with an open and searching heart, you will find the Lord. Have you ever encountered the Lord in his word? Well, the easy answer is yes. But the most personal answer is this: without a doubt, I have. There have been times when I was dealing with situations in my life and I wasn't sure what to do. There were times when I was hurting so badly I didn't know where to turn. There were times when I had questions and I could not find the answers. And I opened up my Bible and God spoke directly to me right where I was. And that passage that I read that I needed so badly was just like, this is the first time I've ever seen it before. Because that's how clearly he speaks to you. If you've never had that experience, I would say this: then you probably never seriously read your Bible. Because that's how he speaks to his people. Every time you try to discover his will without turning to his word, you will struggle. But every time you turn to his word, you discover that the one who was God with us is still with us today in his word. And the greatest message we find in Scripture from beginning to end is this: Jesus is our hope and our salvation. The Old Testament points toward it. The New Testament gives testimony of it. All of it points to Jesus. And through Joseph's example, we are reminded that God always declares His truth and God always keeps His word. So how do you take God at His word this Christmas? You believe the word, just like Joseph had to. You trust the word as you move forward, following His example. You turn to the word and depend upon it to tell you the truth. And you let it point you toward the living word, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. Taking God at His word means beginning at the beginning. And this is where it begins this morning. You shall call His name Jesus, and He will save His people from their sins. You will call His name Jesus, and He will save. And maybe that's exactly what you need this Christmas. Just as surely as Joseph encountered an angel, maybe you need to have a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you may not see Him physically, you may not hear Him audibly, but He will speak to you in the depths of who you are. And you will know, this is the day when I need to trust the Savior and follow Jesus. And if that's you, in a moment when we stand and sing our invitation hymn, if you'll come here to the front, I will introduce you to the one who loves you more than anybody. Or maybe today He's speaking to you and you know what He's telling you. He's saying, I want you to plant yourself in this church, in this fellowship. I want you to become a member here. And I want you to serve Me through this fellowship. And maybe today is the day when you come to bring your membership to First Baptist. Or maybe you're here and the Lord is speaking to you clearly in your heart, and you recognize today is a day when you need to do something that God is talking to you about very specifically. And maybe you just need to come and say, I need you to pray with me as I obey the Lord. Is there a decision you need to make today? We're going to stand, we're going to sing our invitation hymn. As we sing, and as God's Holy Spirit speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together. And let's sing. It's been a good day to be in God's house today. Do you have us a word, Tom?
I've got a word. Much ado.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so as of this morning, our goal is $65,000. We've received $63,320. So we're all but there. And we're going to trust the Lord between now and the end of the year that we will reach and exceed our Lottie Moon goal. Thank you so much for being so faithful in God's challenge to support our missionaries as they serve the Lord. Let me remind our Triple L group, you'll be downstairs in just a moment enjoying your Christmas luncheon together. So be sure that you're there for that gathering. And we look forward to continuing on. Next Sunday will be our Christmas Sunday. And then beyond that, our Christmas Eve service, our Christmas Eve communion service, which to me is the most meaningful service that we share together as a church family. So I hope you're making your plans to be part of our Christmas Eve gathering. It's been good to be with you in God's house. Let's bow together for a final prayer, and then one last song as we dismiss. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in sending your son. Thank you for Joseph, who made the decision, I will trust the Lord. I will take him at his word. And we choose to trust you even now. Lord Jesus, we just ask you to help us to be faithful. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.